The Portal Authority will come to order. Will you call the roll, please?
Jack Arrowsmith?
Here.
Evan Dreyer?
Here.
Bob Feingold?
Here.
Ted Glassman?
Here.
Bill Hawes?
Here.
Roxy Huber?
Here.
Greg Jennick?
Here.
Mike Lokaitis?
Excused.
Gerald Maroney?
Here.
Don Maris?
Here.
Senator May?
Here.
Rico Munn?
Excused.
Mr. Chairman?
Here.
Thank you.
All right, we have a quorum. Let's vote on everything that we need to real quick. Because I know some people have to leave. Yeah, because I have to leave. First, let's welcome Kent Glassman to the board. And we're thrilled to have you. It's nice to talk to you on the phone a little bit. What's that?
Begin the initiation.
Right, we're going to have to close the doors and excuse the audience because we do have a certain SIPA protocol for new members.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just wondering if it's safe to have the audience to our back.
Yeah. It wasn't during the original negotiations of setting up the vendors, I'll tell you. Welcome.
Thank you.
And with that, I'm going to bypass the introduction of the audience per some previous discussions. What I think we'll do, and I'd like to throw this out for discussion, is in the future we could have an opportunity for the audience to be recognized if they so choose by letting them sign up if they would like to be identified. Since most of these things are online, if they'd like to let their bosses know they're here or if they'd like some free advertising for their company online for the other three people listening to these meetings, they would be welcome to sign up. That way nobody's on the spot, nobody gets introduced that doesn't want to be introduced. Any discussion? I know some of you were here for the original discussions on this. I was only here for the last portion of this. Ideas, thoughts, input, objections?
Seems like a good idea. A good compromise.
All right. Well, we'll do that next time. This time, you're on a hall pass. We have now, has anyone not getting the emails and having an opportunity to review agenda items and the minutes in advance? And by the way, those are some pretty articulate minutes that you take, by the way, very in-depth and detailed. With that, I would entertain a motion for first the May, approval of the May minutes. Senator May. All right, then the motion is made by Roxy Huber. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous. Now a motion on the June minutes, please. By Greg Jennick, is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Roxy Huber. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Great. And now our executive director for the business committee on the business portal. But we want to go now?
I do. Thank you, right. Mr. Chairman. At our last meeting, the business committee, as presented by Bob Feingold, presented the concept of a business portal, Business Express, one-stop business portal. And the promise to you last month was to come back with more definition on the proposal and also a demonstration of a working portal. And so, Dan, I would like to have go through the Hawaii Business Portal. Dan was instrumental, in fact, the main driver in getting the Hawaii Business Portal up. I think we're very fortunate that he has that type of experience. And so we'll take a look at how eHawaii works right now. And then I will pitch to you what I think is the prudent manner in which to go forward on the feasibility approach to state of Colorado engaging in implementation of a business portal. So,
Dan,
yes,
that's your seat.
Take over. Well, I can talk loudly. Is it important that I be on mic?
Why don't you sit here? Why don't you sit here? Well, then you can use the mic. This works. Just sit there, and then everyone can see you and hear you.
Here, take mine. Take mine.
All right.
I have a little one-pager here. I'm just going to divide into two groups and just ask you to please pass those down.
No.
Well, when Bob and other
members of this board first started to talk about the idea, and I think actually the first rumblings of this came during the session. There was a bill at one point that proposed to mandate the creation of a service like this, and that bill did not make it through the legislature. But that stimulated those of us that are in this realm to start talking about the possibility of Colorado having a service that essentially makes it easy for businesses to become formed in the state of Colorado and minimizes the bureaucratic uncertainties of new business owners trying to figure out what it is they're supposed to file in order to get into business in the state of Colorado. So Bob Feingold was instrumental in sort of championing this and is still, I guess, as the chairman of the business committee, the board's champion for this. So as a part of our continuing education, I thought it would be helpful for you all to see how we approach this in Hawaii. This project started back in about 2003, and the handout that I just distributed to the board essentially gives you the key elements of this. The goal, and we felt it was essential in Hawaii to have a very succinct goal for this project, it was to simply allow new companies to form in the state of Hawaii using some sort of a wizard interface which eliminated the need for them to beforehand know what the state rules and regulations were, which agencies they had to contact, and eliminate the repetitive filling out of forms that's inevitable if you're in a paper-based system where you've got agencies that operate in silos. So our objective was to overcome those limitations and create an electronic environment in Hawaii to do these things. So what I'm going to show you, we're actually going to go through and form a company online while we sit here, and it won't take very long. You'll be amazed to see how fast this can happen. There's a wizard interface that I'm going to take you through. It's a decision tree approach that guides the filers through the process. The statutory fees that may apply as you go through the process, whether they're taxation-related fees or Secretary of State-related fees, are all tallied up at the end of the process, and the filer can pay with a credit card. Subsequently, the funds are electronically distributed to the agencies, so it's a very hands-off kind of approach. The filer gets an email receipt and other information as soon as the filing is done, and the electronic data that comprises the filing is appropriately parsed, formatted for the agency, and electronically distributed in real time to the agencies. And finally, the filer is able to go back at any point in time and, pardon me, let's don't log off or turn off the computer. Go back at any point in time and see the status of their filing. So all of that said, you'll see that the approach here is left-hand navigation. There is a login, and the reason there's a login is because to use the wizard, you need to be able to stop your filing in midstream if you need to go consult an attorney or your business partners. You need to be able to come back and pull that filing up. And so there is a simple a password generation utility that the user has to go through, and thereafter they can go back and look at their filing. So I'm going to log in using my original password from 4 years ago. And since I have now successfully logged in, and we're now ready to immediately start filing a business. You'll see on the left as we go through this that the step you're on is automatically displayed on the left-hand side, so you'll know where you are in the process. In order to begin, you have to declare no to the answers to all these questions, which essentially mean these are the things that you cannot do online. If you want to register an agricultural cooperative or a government entity or register a business that has no presence in the state of Hawaii, you really can't do that online. So you have to be able to answer no to these questions in order to proceed. So I'm going to click the box that says I have answered no to all questions. And here we go into the process.
Is the profit is this business a for-profit or a nonprofit entity? We'll say profit. Is it tax exempt? No. Location, let's say started and based in Hawaii. Now, the pages that you'll see subsequently are dynamic in the sense that what you see next is dependent on how you answered the questions on the previous screen. So let's say we're going to create a sole proprietorship, and the other options there would have been these other types of corporate entities, business entities. Say sole proprietorship. All right, at this point, we're going to tell it what the company name is. Let's call it you're going to see how well. How about that? I hit enter. Now you get a chance to see the error messaging that we have.
Good job.
And you also see how bad a typist I am. No, we're doing a real business. So we're going to say, yes, this is the same as my principal office address, so it automatically populates that.
Enter zip code.
Oh, thank you. Actual Hawaii zip codes, by the way. I don't have an FEIN yet because I have just formed this company, and it's a sole proprietorship, which means I don't need an FEIN. My NAICS code, if you click this link, it takes you to the NAICS website, and you can search through this and find your appropriate code. I just happen to know that the code for food is 311 because I tested this earlier, so we're just going to give it a 311. Business contact information. The reason you need an email address is because we're going to send you the receipt. And we're going to give you an opt-in when you sign up for your password, which I'll show you shortly. You do have the opt-in for email reminders. If you want to be reminded when your next business filing is due, you can opt into that service along with a number of other opt-ins for that. And these questions were assembled, and the screens were architected in a collaborative effort with the four agencies that are partners in this effort, and that was the Tax Department, the Labor Department, the Secretary of State equivalent in Hawaii, which is the Commerce and Consumer Affairs Department, and the Internal Revenue Service. So, again, we only want to answer each question once. Business owner. Thank you.
Thank you, Jill. So the other thing I wanted to point out is that each screen has its own specific help. So you can, over here on any page, get more information and help about this page, and it will tell you why you need to answer this question and give you some clues as to how best to answer the question. Have employees, just for the sake of expediency, will say no, it's a sole proprietorship after all. Are you a cigarette or tobacco dealer? No.
So that's driven by some specific legislation in the state.
That's right, as is this next series of questions. And you can see we're on tax info now, so these are tax-related questions. Do you operate a hotel or some other transient accommodations company? No. Rental motor vehicle business activity? We'll say no. Liquid fuel retail dealer? No. These all relate to the type of tax you might owe. Liquor manufacturer? No. Liquid fuel distributor? No. Disability tax exemption? No, I'm not applied or do not qualify for that. Okay. Trade name registration. You may choose to register your business name as a trade name. Do you want to do that or not? I'm going to say name was assigned. Actually, I'm not sure what that means. We can go find out. Answer yes to this question if the business name was assigned to you by another. If no, if you're the originator of this name. Okay, that's easy. No. And yeah, we will have a trade name.
Account. Does it search to see if the name's already taken in that state? Or?
Not at this time. There's actually a manual process whereby the Secretary of State's office has to certify that name as available. There's only one other state in the country that I know of, and it's the state of Maine, that has figured out how to do that electronically. And it's usually because the state's business naming statutes are so convoluted in most places. There's so many exceptions that it's very difficult to write computer logic.
Are
that
sure we're doing it in Colorado?
Are you?
Electronically? Yeah. Are we electronic?
Yeah.
That's great.
It probably 8 or 9 years ago.
In Hawaii, that's one of the reasons why the generation of your credentials is not instantaneous, because the State Department of Commerce has to manually look up that name and approve it, and then there's a workflow process that
does it here.
Secretary of State's office.
Yeah. But it's done online.
Yeah, Colorado handles it differently with a distinguishable upon the record. You can figure that out. There's no need for a manual. There are some states that do the same.
We tried to tackle that one in Hawaii, but we had to wait for the state legislature to get involved. Accounting period, we'll say it's a calendar year. We're on accrual. Filing period is going to be monthly for them.
I was just going to add that when I was doing the research on the other business portals around, like, a lot of them allow you to search a database for a name, but then they still manually approve it. So you have the ability to go in and say, looks like this one's it's done. You'll submit it, but it's not actually processed. They actually have to go in. Somebody has to look it over and say yes.
So, John, you looked at our corporate filing?
I looked.
We have up online at the Secretary of State's office?
I looked at the site, and it was not a full business one-stop, so no. I did not evaluate that one.
It has some overlap.
Yes, and you'll find that everywhere. Everybody seems to have lots of different databases out there. Everybody pretty much allows you to search something on I would say everybody, meaning about 50% of them. But nobody, I didn't see too many that just say, yes, you get that name as soon as you enter it.
Okay. So we've entered the accounting information. All right, we're done. We're now to the signed filings part. It tells you who must sign depending on which type of business entity it is. And we have three state entities that typically are involved in this. And since we
did not elect to have employees. You do not see a box here for the Department of Labor. If we had said we were going to have employees, you would have an attestation here from the Department of Labor. So this says, for the Department of Tax, by submitting your registration, you indicate that you agree to the terms of use, you've read and understood the privacy policy, and your submission to this form constitutes your consent to the collection and use of this information for processing by the Hawaii Department of Taxation and its affiliates. And so we click accept. Hawaii state law does allow for electronic signatures, and it allows for them to be structured in any manner suitable to the government entity. So it can be anything from a checkbox with a type name to a true electronic signature, depending on the agency's preference. Same for the Department of Commerce. Please sign below, signed by, we're going to say me, and this is an important feature here. Please review your filing before signing. So we're going to click enter. In the course of this, we now have the actual forms already filled out. So we can click on this document. I hope they got the PDF loaded on this computer. And you can look and see the actual filing that you can then print or save onto your hard drive that you would have had to fill out by hand if you hadn't gone through this short process. There it is, all filled out for you. Some of these are multi-page forms. They're all filled in and ready to go.
But it's also an account logged in that's part of the system now?
It's now a part of the system. If you wanted to stop at this point and come back next week after you talk to your attorney, that's why you have a login. And keep in mind that it's not the PDF that gets sent to the agency, it's the data that gets sent in an appropriate format to be directly imported into the agency's database. The form is for the filer's convenience. Yes, sir.
Me.
What's the fee for this, Dan?
Well, I'm going to show you right now. The tax department has a nominal fee. I didn't use the left-hand navigation like I was supposed to, so I've got to go back through this process. So we've now got to sign. I accept all of this. And here's the checkout page. The answer to your question, Senator, is that there's a $20 filing fee for the Department of Taxation for that DB-1 form you just looked at. There's an additional $37.50 filing with the Secretary of State's office, and there's a $2.50 convenience fee that the portal gets to keep. And that's the total. And the Commerce Department in Hawaii offers an expedited service for an extra $20. You can get it done in 3 days or less. And at this point, if you want to stop, you can stop and come back and pay later. Go ahead. Excuse me.
Please no, continue, Senator.
Who owns the software?
Colorado, the portal manager builds the software, and when we ever leave Hawaii, the state gets a permanent for-use license. Same exact terms that we have here in Colorado.
So if we were to look at something like this, we would do a buy and modify?
It wouldn't be a buy if we thought we could use this lock, stock, and barrel. I can get the code tomorrow, and we can start with this.
You still have to modify it, though, for us.
Well, sure, because it's very specific to the state. But what we're suggesting is that this is it might be a good model for us to follow, and as we think about our Colorado
map. Could you interface this with COFRS so that the proper department got the
Yes. Absolutely. Our payment engine's already integrated to COFRS. So,
do you get involved at all in working on? I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
No, go ahead, please.
In working on intergovernmental agreements between the agency and the authority? Or
well, I think it was very similar to Colorado. We have the same type of portal authority structure in Hawaii that we do here. Each of the agencies had already signed what we call here an EGE, or an Eligible Government Entity Agreement, and it was just a matter of getting the three state agencies to sit down at the table and jointly sign a task order that that chartered this project. So there were no new agreements that had to be signed.
Senator May.
We've got a lot more than three agencies in Colorado that do involved. To the Department of Agriculture if we're involved in that. A lot of other agencies that would have to be.
Yeah, and
front-end analysis.
So that's the concept of the feasibility study where we're going to go to here. But one of the questions was, we'd like to see how one operates in practice. And to your other question, Senator, every application and service that we have, we own the source code. It is ours in perpetuity. We make sure that we have it. It's in a safety deposit box that we have the rights to. So if...
Can we sell it to the next state?
No.
You know,
why not? We own it.
We license it, which doesn't give us the right to sell it. We own in perpetuity the license to operate it,
ours,
but not to resell. Yeah. Correct?
That's correct. And you can modify it. You get the source code, but you just can't sell it or transfer it to another non-state entity.
And I'll tell you how important this is. There's other states out there that have gone into agreements with different vendors, and at the end of it, they didn't own, they had the object code, but they didn't have the source code, and all of a sudden, they don't have their vendor anymore, and now they have an unusable product. Through your leadership and NIC willing to work in this manner, we hopefully will preclude any of those landmines that may be out there.
Do you have a total number of filings that are being used under this application, or being used, and then how many are in this application, and then how many?
Well, and tell them about the adoption rate, if you will.
Sure. While I click on one more feature I want you to see before we stop, my account information is here, as is an ability to see my wizard businesses. You can see here that over time, I have created three different companies using this utility, and all the information about those is here, as is the status. So I did Front Range Frijoles this morning as I was practicing this. It's in the paying stage, which means that it's waiting for me to complete my credit card transaction.
Senator May?
I don't think you can sell frijoles.
I'm trying to remember. I've been in the Senate 7 years before that was Bill Schroeder. When I was in the House, Schroeder and I ran together the central indexing bill. I guess that's 10 years old, Bill? 11, maybe, something like that. We went through some of these same issues that Don brought up when the indexing system, and we established the corporate filings part of that, which is still active, I think, in the state, not nearly as intricate, perhaps, as this is, but some of those problems were solved somewhere.
The other thing you'll see on this left-hand navigation is that over time, since this was launched, we've added other business-facing interactive services. You can make your unemployment tax payments online. You can file your quarterly wage filings online. You can get a certificate of good standing electronically through this wizard. So the overall vision for this was to make it a true business one-stop, where no matter what interaction you had to have as a business with the state of Hawaii or ultimately the counties, you could do it through this interface.
Jack.
Dan, I see your drop-down bars at the beginning. Does Hawaii allow a foreign national to use this to open up a business in Hawaii?
Yes. Foreign meaning non-Hawaiian. It can be an American company or a foreign company. Hawaii's hope was to go into competition against Delaware as probably the most business-filing-friendly state in the United States. But element of this that we talked about with your team in Douglas County the other day when we went through this is Hawaii is a little hamstrung from an economic development standpoint for the formation of businesses because it's not regarded as a very business-friendly state across the board. The creation of this electronic mechanism for filing new companies was envisioned to help the Economic Development Department pitch Hawaii as a high-tech friendly state. So that was the other part of this. Mr. Chairman, you asked me about adoption. Within a year of this being launched in October of 2004, 50% of all the companies that form in Hawaii are formed using this, and today it's about 70 to 75% of all companies formed in Hawaii. That's about 2,000 companies a month formed through this interface.
A couple questions. One is I was a little surprised that the fee was so low. Basically, what I interpret that to mean is $2.50 is all that's charged.
It's all the portal manager gets to keep as a part of that transaction. The rest of the funds are distributed to the
state. Now, in order to get this up and running, where did the money come from to fund the work?
It came from the NIC portal operation there. We subsidized the entire cost of building that. Notwithstanding a few, I think we got, if my memory serves, about $60,000 from the Commerce Department to create a marketing campaign and print some collateral materials that helped get the adoption rates up. But the vast majority of this was funded out of our pockets.
What was the total cost?
I'd have to estimate it for you. I can tell you that we had 25% of a senior project manager. That was our John Thomas equivalent. And a full-time junior project manager and a full-time equivalent developer for a year and a half to build it.
And then just one last question. Since 50% is a big number, particularly with the Secretary of State's office, or Commerce, whatever they call it, over time is there anticipated to be, through whatever means, vacancy saving or vacancies or whatever, a reduction in the size of those agencies because they don't have to process the paper?
Can I avoid that landmine?
Nope.
No, but I'll answer it. But it's not, Mr. Mayor, that's not the portal's job. That is the agency, it's Secretary of State. If they have savings, and the governors, if they have savings and their agencies have, and they decide how they operate their business, great. That's what we're all here for, is efficiencies. But it's not for us to say, we're going to give you this product, we're going to give you this service, and the expectation is you can riff people or you can do vacancy things. And so, you know, and one of the things we've really had as a pushback from certain parts of state government is that concept that we're out there to have people lose their jobs. That's not the portal's role and mission. And so we give it to directors like yourself to do what you will with the savings that we hope you'll find from our services.
Could I provide a true anecdote?
Sure.
That gets at the answer, what happened in Hawaii with that question. It did reduce the paperwork at the agency, because you're talking about 50% to 70% adoption. That's going to obviously have a workflow impact. What they did with those staff that had been opening the envelopes and manually processing the forms is that they gave them some incremental training, and they created something they call the Business Action Center, where the folks that didn't have the online access went to get personal help and could use a kiosk in that office to do it. So the people that were previously opening envelopes became one-on-one helpers. So it was a win-win for everybody.
Rick Jennings.
Excuse me.
Dan, help me with the additional value proposition you're adding on, because I filed on the Secretary of State's website different corporate entities. It works very, very well. Hats off to whoever was all behind that design. But, you know, it's very, very easy, very seamless. What did, I'm trying to look on your left-hand margin here and really understand. Feature would have.
Well, Bill and I and Trevor met in my office a few weeks ago to talk about that very question, and I think I've had some conversation with Becky in DOR as well. It's important to remember that this is a presentation layer directed solely at the users, and it shuttles data into the pre-existing services that are there in the various agencies. So the value add is almost entirely from the citizen's perspective. It just makes it so much easier to do this rather than drive downtown, find a parking place, and in Honolulu, that's not a very easy thing to do. And then you've got to spend hours walking door to door to get the forms. Even the labor filings, the wage reports, the payments, the unemployment payments, those can all be done either at the counter or through the mail or online. But this interface is, the value is in the interface to the citizen. I'm not sure if that answers your question, Greg.
Well, of course it does. I think you mentioned that. The filings I was talking about actually are online.
Let me add to that.
I've done these.
I understand your question. Let me tell you one of the things that I most heard from a constituent when I was in the House is, how come I have to file the same information? I did it over here at Revenue, and now I've got another Revenue form, and they don't have my information. It's not the same. One thing you have with a login is you have consistency of identifying who that business and who that person is and what the connection is. The other thing is, oftentimes, depending on the business that you want to do, And please understand that Hawaii is an example of a spot on a continuum of functionality that you can decide where we place Colorado's business portal. You can have functionality that goes, okay, you were in food. You might need a restaurant license from the city and county of Denver. Get you there. You may need a health inspection from the Colorado Department of Health. Send your information there. There's the added value. It also helps you go through, because a lot of small businesses don't really, they've got a great concept. If you look at the IBM ad and you say the big red thing and says this is your big idea, a lot of businesses have the big idea, but they don't know how to go through the maze of regulation. And this is an attempt to help our citizens get through that maze of regulations and get in business and be successful entrepreneurs. So from my standpoint, Greg, that's the value added that I see in a concept of this. But as the business committee was discussing this, and as if I can get it back to the concept of the feasibility study and where we are in this process, as we talked about, it's inappropriate for us to presuppose where that functionality is. We may have constraints that we identify in this process of the feasibility that don't give us what you may envision today for functionality within a business portal like this. Roxy may have some constraints within the Department of Revenue that don't allow as much as you would like to do on your wish list. So the concept that the business committee came up with is saying, okay, let's do a feasibility study. Let's identify what we're doing in the state of Colorado now, because there's agencies out there are doing a great job of a lot of online services for constituents, but they're not integrated. That's what the portal's about, is integrating those great online services into one place in a business scenario that they can be utilized. But to go out there and identify, and Senator, there are certainly more than three or four agencies that are affected in the state of Colorado, but there are three or four or five that are absolutely critical, and if you can't deal with those three or four or five, you can't go forward. If you had a business portal and everything worked except for Secretary of State, it wasn't a part of it, wouldn't be much value. If you had everybody except for Department of Revenue and all the tax implications and filing, wouldn't be much value. So you've got to start talking about the core, and maybe, say, DORA, something doesn't work in DORA to be able to integrate immediately. There may be something out there that says, you need a license to become a realtor, contact this person at this email address or this telephone number. And so there's all sorts of functionality levels that you can have in this. I think with Bob's leadership and Jack, the concept of a feasibility study is absolutely critical to make sure that we do this appropriately from the very beginning. Instead of going out, if we had Senator Mitchell's bill and every agency was mandated that they were going to do this and they're going to have it by July of 08, we'd really be under the gun. The idea of the feasibility study lets us identify where our opportunities are, where our challenges are going to be, and how we're going to engage in it. And so that's what we're here today to talk about. This is one portal that's up and running in one state. Colorado is different, but any of those things that any NIC state has out there, we can borrow and modify instead of buy and modify. And Mr. Mayor, back to your point about how do we fund something like this, this all fits within our self-funded model. As we talk about finances later today, as I give you a financial report, you'll see that we're doing pretty well. I think this is one that can fit in planned resources within the next 18 to 24 months. And I hope you really heard what he said, how long he had a project manager on it. Because this isn't something that you're going to see a deliverable on in 6 months if you decide to go forward with it. And so don't think this is a, you get the box off the shelf, put it in, and we've got a business portal up and operating.
You did a great job coming up. I'm going to drag you back down in the weeds real fast.
Senator asked whether this hooks into coffers, and it does.
Our so payment engine does, yeah.
Right. So my question is, do the departments that are affected by this go back and rekey this, or do they scan it,
or are there hooks into the individual databases that make this truly automated for each of the departments that are affected?
The answer is yes to all those questions. We have one department that gets an email out of this system automatically, and then they rekey it because they wouldn't let us have an interface to their system. We have another agency where it's an XML file that they have a job that runs four times a day, and it imports it.
Follow-on to that, perhaps, is that we should talk to the business committee about information lifecycle management, because this stuff's going to live forever in an enterprise facility, right? And so we should be doing more with those departments to get their data's, you know, whatever their concerns are, let's figure that out.
Let me bring you back up high, if you'll allow me.
No!
because what we're here to discuss today is whether we're going to engage in the feasibility study. Absolutely
okay.
Wonderful point that you bring up. But as we start talking about other agencies and how we do it, those are exactly the things that we would be talking about through a task order with an agency and saying, okay, what do you need here? How do we do this? How do we help you? And as we now have a new enterprise architect for the state of Colorado, how do we start taking a look at that entire enterprise architecture for state agencies across state government? But I think...
No, I got you. That is too far down. But the other thing we need to look at is if they run into a problem, whose help desk do they call? Because they're not going to know whether it's Secretary of State, Revenue, reg agencies, health. So somebody needs to look at, even in Hawaii, where they got tripped up, where did they go get the help, and how did you automate that?
You're kind of on step two, though. I'm going to back up because we have 15 minutes or less of Jack Arrowsmith's time. We laid this over so that we could have a quorum present to take official position on this. So I'd like to give the next 5 to 10 minutes to our executive director to give us his proposal or the proposal on this so that we could take an action on this while we have a quorum. And then we'll get back to questions unless there's something that you need to interject before he gets to that. Senator May, you had your hand up.
I want to be way up here.
Okay, we're only on the third floor. Second.
What
floor is this,
too? When we originally started this program, we had a survey done. There were 210, roughly, entities who had access. One of our efforts, or ideas in essence, in HIPAA, was to try to close down some of those stovepipes and reduce our risk. It seems to me like maybe we should look at those products that are already being delivered in the departments, i.e. corporate filings, for instance, to bring it into the SIPA so that we got control of that and we've got only one pipe delivering from. Then I don't have a problem with your feasibility study part of this thing. Look at that as an upgrade in some. I don't know how many we've got now. Maybe it's time to run another feasibility study, Bob, and see how many connection portals we got out there. Lunch.
We have less.
Bob Feingold.
I would hope so.
Yeah, I understand where you're going, and that was a problem years ago, and maybe it still is. But we have to be careful about getting the cart before the horse. The feasibility study phase of this project is designed to find the need that's out there, and from that need, be able to look at alternatives for implementation and what they cost. As part of that, the benefits are identifying those websites and making the sound business case for them to come in, as opposed to trying to exercise some authority which we don't have to bring them in. And bringing them in kicking and screaming is not a good idea.
Senator May.
I think that the governor, at least what I hear, Don can probably back me up on this, indicated to his staff and his EDs that he'd like them to look at a portal application first rather than bringing something up on your own. Is that correct, Doc?
Well, I'm not sure we've gotten quite that specific, but the thing we do have going for us is he's absolutely interested in having agencies work together and not as much in our own little worlds. And this is right up that alley. I mean, it's this is a big deal. This kind of cooperation, streamlining is right up our alley. It's exactly what we're talking about.
Now the other problem we have is that there's a revenue stream right now that comes off of what's happening in the Department of the Secretary of State's department. That goes through the JVC and you get appropriated money through that. So in this feasibility study, you got to look at the cost-benefit analysis of what it affects versus what it's going to generate and how you transfer that over, because that does affect what you do. They run that office not just for the purpose of corporate policy.
We don't transfer it over. Anything they've got statutorily, and it doesn't matter who the agency is, still gets it. They're still made whole. It's revenue neutral to them. I mean, Senator, you and I talked about the necessity of always making it revenue neutral. The revenue stream for the portal comes from the convenience fee, and if there is a credit card transaction that goes through there. One of the things I'd really like to point out is, as we look at this, we are not going to go to Secretary Kaufman, Bill, and Trevor and say, this is how you should do your business process. It's our job as we look at it to say, what is your business process and how can we integrate it with this concept, and what parts of your business process can we integrate in there? Because we're not out there to tell revenue how to do their business process. You can't have the disconnect between IT and the business case of it, but as far as they're looking at their dollars, none of that's going to change by virtue of the fact that we're going to do this. There's going to hopefully be a net savings because there will be a reduction in paperwork, reduction in employee need per transaction. But it's really important that as we start this feasibility study, if you so decide, that the message is not out there that we're going to tell you something you've got to do. Our message should be, we understand you do some wonderful online transactions, and we'd like to be able to integrate those together for the benefit of the citizens. You know, Colorado, if you look right now in e-government ratings, is somewhere between 6 and 8 by the Princeton or Brown University study that came out. And by the way, congratulations to Douglas County for being number 2 in the digital survey.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's very good. So as we look at this, it's not going to be a static portal that we put up there and we're saying, hallelujah, let's have a party, we're done. We're going to find processes that aren't automated today within an agency that everybody would hope that they're automated, and it's going to give them a better reason and a better story to be able to tell to the legislature, to the governor, and saying, you know, if we had a little money to be able to do our back-end system and automate some of this, we can sweep it right up into this business portal, and what a beautiful thing that would be. But some of them are not going to be available online, and that's when we say, you know, this isn't an online process. But we don't drive agencies deciding what an online process is. We give them the opportunity to leverage it at the highest capability.
How many states have this kind of system?
Well, there's 38.
31 we surveyed.
31 that we surveyed. And we had that handout last time, Don, that showed all the disparity of different services that were out there.
How many have something as robust as this?
12. It's 12.
As robust, not very many.
Yeah. There's 12 interactive.
12 that have interactive, exactly. Okay. But as robust as this?
Yeah.
A couple of comments before I have to run out the door, and I apologize for that. Dan was good enough to show us a little bit of this on Monday, and I had Mimi Martin there, who is our economic development person for Douglas County, been around in economic development for a long time. One of the exciting things from a high-level standpoint is the fact that this really lends itself to the small business person in Colorado. This is probably not big, huge corporation that's moving, but it's certainly an opportunity to touch that small business person. And so Mimi was really excited about the prospect. Having said that, one of the things that as we went through this, we saw was that we had that state piece, connection piece, but I can guarantee that 100% of every business opened in Colorado is opened in one of our 64 counties, and probably 50% of every business that's opened is opened in one of our municipalities. So I hope in our feasibility study we would take a look at what does it mean, where can we get the biggest bang for our buck
for instance, maybe in the feasibility study, we ought to look at Denver's and some of the bigger municipalities and say, can we link in such a way that will also allow that person to fill out the paperwork and so forth in terms of that. I hope that's the case. And one other point before I go on, when we talked months and months ago about single login, we kind of put that on the shelf. This looks like an opportunity to maybe bring that single login capacity back. It seems to me that it makes sense that if I log into this, I should be able to check my park permit and everything else without having to log in multiple times. You have to log in for this function. Does it make sense to move that to other functionality as well?
Well, there's a big difference between doing 2,000 a year and saying, okay, we're going to go single logon, which there is not in existence in the state of Colorado a governance model of IT that allows, even if we think we're doing single logon, it's somewhat single logon. And that's why we backed off before. We didn't want to spend those types of dollars for something that really didn't give you the functionality of single logon. I think it's a great start because, it's the difference between authorization and authentication. All we're really talking about here is authentication. We know who you are. This is what you're doing. It's not authorization to be able to go out and check some other things. So I think it's a great thought. I think it's a little premature to say we're going to make... In fact, I would call it a quantum leap going from there to single logon. But I like the way you think, and you never lose sight of it. And to your first point, talking about local government and that, I think that's probably stage two and a half, stage three or something, after we have a successful launch of the concept of the portal. I think it's very important to citizens to be able to do that. But we have to have some successes. I believe we have to have some successes before we get the full buy-in from a local government that we're going to be able to deliver that, access their database, and start sending those out. And it becomes a much more robust decision tree to try and get all 64 counties and all 300 municipalities, 300 plus, that are out there.
In our discussion on Monday, it was tough to do it because, as Dan said, the counties operated differently. Well, they have four counties in Hawaii, so 64 makes it a little different.
And it was tough with the four.
John.
Let me just tell you what I found, and actually I think you can look at either on the second or third page of that handout from last month. I think at the bottom of that list, it tells you a little bit about integration with counties and what people did. I don't remember anybody who got down into the county. As basically you do, you've got multiple entities, their way, their systems, their architectures, and everything. And what Greg got to is you have to have total buy-in, and you have to know exactly how every county addresses every type of possible business. It just becomes a monster. And that's, I don't believe that most of the, well, I don't remember seeing anybody that went really down into the weeds with the counties.
But we're committed to going forward and make this work on the iPhone.
What
and
a
so
great challenge.
With that, let me get to the second thing that you asked about the single login. I concur with what Greg said, but if you want to have Dan do another demo next week or next month, have him show you the Hawaii Lala system. He calls it Lala.
Well, I was just going to add an additional bonus fact. All of those apps that are listed on the left-hand navigation, certificate of good standing, unemployment, tax payments, those are all accessible through the same login that I did to start this business filing. So the apps that are accessible and through the portal are all accessible via one login. What we don't offer is logins to all the disparate systems of state governments.
Sure.
And we have worked towards this already. We have a form-based login project that we've been kind of cooking on the back burner. And we actually have a rough spec drawn up. We just have to find time to get it into our queue.
You don't need all 64 counties. I mean, you need the counties where 85% of the business
the
is done.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, if you got those four counties or five counties, you don't need every county. I mean, and we ran through the same thing with CGIS, where we got the common data elements, and you don't have to repeat the common data elements and put those into play. You know, and the counties will come if you build that kind of a system.
They
all did with CCIC, even though they had to. They were mandated to come into that system by the legislature.
We'll have a short readout about the success that we're having of online vehicle registration, and we have nine counties right now representing a huge percentage of the vehicles that are registered in the state of Colorado. You're absolutely right. You want me to keep it?
We're going to lose one vote.
Is it appropriate for a motion?
I would take a question. Senator May had his hand up.
I need to say some cost things before you have a motion, but unless you just say
no. Sometimes yes is enough.
How about a motion?
Senator May.
Mr. Chairman, you know, for a board of directors, if we have an opportunity to order the SIPA in the direction it needs to go. I'm just a lowly legislator that answers the telephone from a whole lot of people. Over the years, I have had little or no complaints from businesses or small businesses or corporate filings or whatever. But I get thousands of calls from individuals about this, that, and the other. I mean, we're sitting here with the Department of Reg Agencies, licensed 72, 77 different entities. I get calls about all of those things all the time. And in the Department of Revenue, I'm getting all kinds of calls about standing in line at the places for a driver's license or for registering their car or whatever. I mean, that's what I get bombed about. And if we're going to help the people, I mean, if we go forward on this and make it our top priority or whatever, what do we help? A couple thousand maybe 5,000 or whatever? I mean, we got some real efforts that we need to do out there, particularly in the Department of Reg Agencies. And in the Department of Revenue, we need to get those things on there, get them on the SIPA, get them online, get them solving some of our problems. And that's where we need to be putting our effort, I think.
Bob Feingold.
Very valid question that is answered by doing the feasibility study. If there isn't a sufficient enough market for this to carry its own weight, then we don't go any further. There is, then it'll be self-evident to everybody.
Well, I think Senator May is kind of hitting a point that I believe you may have brought up last time, which is, but if I need something to solve some of these problems and the resources are being focused there, does that push me back? Or maybe it was you that mentioned that last time. I'm sorry.
Chairman, I did, but please. Senator May, I think, makes a much more eloquent point that addresses the masses. And I wonder if there is a way, maybe as part of this process or separate from this process, to begin a needs assessment that speaks to some of those issues as well, so that perhaps we can get a broader landscape and maybe set some priorities.
Roxy?
Well, and I would add that some of the concerns that Senator May brings forth are in process. I mean, the driver's license online registration is in process. We've got the online vehicle renewal.
That would be the biggest winner we could pick right there.
And that's coming. November, I think, is the current target date for that. So there are, you know, we have prioritized those big issues to reach the masses. But I get the complaints about the businesses. They're not calling you, they're calling us. And the difficulty for a business to begin in Colorado is endless. And you add the complexity of the county tax, the city tax, and not knowing where to go and what to turn. Having, you know, we get the cry all the time, why can't there be a place for us to go? Out-of-state companies that have businesses all across the country, they know to come to us, but I think there's ways, and Jack made a valid point earlier about the locals, because the local collection of sales tax in Colorado is one of the biggest challenges that businesses face. And while we may not be able to make that integration step, we can make a link. We've got a document at the state level already that if they could link to those cities they know they're doing business with from that document, that alone would save them a big step.
That is exactly what they do. They always provide you links to the counties.
Well, I think it would be wrong if we infer that by looking at this feasibility study that we're going to stop solving some of these other problems. So I don't see it inhibiting us with our main goals, and maybe that's one of the things that we'll have an opportunity to discuss in the soon-to-be-planned retreat in October, which
we'll talk about that later. Let's
all right. So
if I may, and to answer the Senator's question, I don't believe this is a mutually exclusive project to anything that you just said. When you talk about DORA, DORA is full of opportunities for us to integrate DORA into this, because you're right. And Department of Labor, when we as we talk about unemployment, not only from the employer side but the employee side, to be able to do this. This is just one piece that integrates business IT processes that are existing out there. We've always got to continue to try and get those up standalone from a business portal. If you would have seen one of those earlier slides on eHawaii, it was go directly to forms. And so for a person that's already up and doing business with the Department of Health, if we can have in there also, you know, this is how you go directly to all those necessary applications, whether you're a citizen or a business, that's pretty key to it. But if I can continue, Mr. Chairman, of talking, what I heard last month from a number of the board members, Mr. Dreyer being one of them, going, how does this fit in? Don't want to slow up the successes we're having. What are the costs? Mr. Lokaitis called me, and he says he shared some of the same concerns. And what direction I've taken at this point then is upon Mr. Lokaitis' direction was to discuss with North Highland coming in as a consultant to this board to help on the feasibility study. They've given me a price of estimated 400 hours at $56,000 to do this. Their time frame is 12 weeks. But one of the key components, and met with North Highland the other day along with our general manager of CI, it's very important that we don't just hand this off to them. We've got to have CI and myself very much involved in everything that we do, because there's got to be the business case for our integrator at the same time. One of the reasons North Highland was suggested by Michael is because of all the work that they're doing currently in assessment and needs assessment, and so that I would still like to have the time frame being first of the year, deliver a report of feasibility as a not later than. Hopefully we could expedite that. I know Mr. Feingold was very much interested in expediting if possible. That's the time frame, that's the cost. It is well within SIPA's reserves to be able to have that expense. And so I would leave it back to you, Mr. Chairman, to answer questions or ask for direction.
Move we authorize the attention of, you said Michael Lokaitis, I assume, is the one who recommended that we retain North Highland at the stated amount to conduct the feasibility study.
Second. Discussion, Senator May.
Where's the money come from?
We can. It's in SIPA's account. It would be paid. And two things that this does, we would have a part-time project manager from CI that be involved in this, not nearly at the level to delay other projects that are out there. Dan and I have talked about it, figure out how we do it. One of the things he's going to have to look at is if the decision is go, then that's a half-time project manager for the first and whatever that may be. Right now it would come out of SIPA operating account. It would be paid by the board, and that would be out of our self-funded reserve.
No discussion?
I'm going to abstain from this vote because I have ongoing business dealings with North Highland. Had no idea this was even coming up, but I'm going to abstain. But that said, I think it's very important that we scope this study so that when they come back and make a recommendation to this board, we know why we're either moving forward or not. But right now, this thing feels really big, and I bet the business committee or North Highland or somebody has scoped this thing.
We have a very good idea of what the scope should be from my standpoint, from Colorado Interactive's, and from the expertise of what North Highland's been working on right now. Okay. And one of the things that is absolutely critical if we go forward for this to work, as you talked about telling agencies, is Mr. Lokaitis and OIT and how they're changing how the IT landscape looks out there. We really need not only the executive directors on this board to be champions for it, but certainly Mr. Lokaitis as the state CIO. Without that, we won't succeed at this month.
Roxy.
I would add to, we just... backed up, click on revenue, and it's right in the center.
Roxy, I don't believe you need to abstain for it. He's private sector, and he might have a different profit motive relationship
than
you do.
They did a great job with us. They were meticulous. They interviewed folks at all levels, and I was very pleased with
it. Thank you. Senator May?
Roxy, your report was 69 pages. I've read 36, but I haven't gotten to the point where they had recommended a solution. Covered a lot of stuff, a lot of which we already
need.
I'll continue to read.
If you have any questions, call me.
Spoil the ending.
Yeah, don't spoil the ending.
Please, Evan.
Mr. Chairman, could you or Greg repeat the dollar amount and then an initial benchmark or timeline for the first deliverable?
Sure.
And please understand that this is based on 400 hours of work. It's $56,000. It would be a unit price. And I believe if you run that back for senior staff analysis, that's $140 an hour.
Is that a 50-page report, dude? $1,000 a page? The metric I'm accustomed to is similar.
And the time frame?
No
later than.
They have resources available to commit to this immediately upon scoping. That's absolutely key. You're right, Ken. We've both been through that rodeo before where if you don't tell them what to do, you get what they think. And their time frame in this is 12 weeks. That answer your question?
Sure. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, we have a motion. All those in favor, raise your hand. All those opposed? That motion passes. Next. It's you, isn't it?
Next is Finance Committee. You have the balance sheet and P&L in front of you. A couple things. As you know, we're on an accrual basis, and just a couple things that on the P&L of May 07. You have April's and May's there. So that we continue to add to our retained earnings. One of the things I'd like to point out is you see the beginning of increased expenditures for IVMV. Those are on user acceptance testing and load testing that they've been engaged in. I believe those are proving to be very helpful for the end product that we're going to be putting out there and its reliability. And so we'll continue to see those IVMV numbers come up a little bit. The other thing that I would like to point out as you look at the balance sheet, as you look at accounts payable of $43,366, that's kind of a timing issue. What makes that up is one payroll period, two hail freezing invoices, and one CIS test, and so those have clearly been paid by the end of May 31. And so I had printed out, and you don't have it in front of you, just on a cash basis, the balance sheet as of July 1, accounts payable are minus $45. I still can't figure out what it is we overpaid by $45. Actually, I do know what it is. We're having Chaffa runs our payroll, and we've got a little discrepancy on a payroll there, so we have to we're researching it to try and get that down. On our audit, it was anticipated that I was meeting with Clifton Gunderson on July 3rd. The principal that I was going to be working with had a death in his family, and so that'll be rescheduled for later in the month. But we'll accomplish that in the July to August time frame. So I think the financial statement continues to be strong. Thank you for allowing us to spend some of those dollars in things like testing and feasibility studies so we can make a stronger, more effective portal. Questions?
Anyone? New business. It's still you. Executive Director's update.
I have no new business. I have some old business, and on the
What I would ask of the board today is we have talked for the last 2 months about attendance of board members at the Partners Conference in Portland in the October 23rd to October 25th time frame. And I believe that they actually say that it starts early on the 23rd, so evening of the 22nd would probably be arrival time into Portland for participation. And I found out that last year as I went out there that Portland's not a bad place to go to, but their state capital in Salem is kind of a little bit more off the beaten track.
Yeah.
On a state highway?
It is on a state highway. As I reported last month, we anticipate the cost to be about $1,000 per participant. I would leave it to the board to, if they'd like any and all participants to engage and go to that. I believe it's a wonderful experience. I've talked to Dan, and he says they would welcome anybody at the appropriate level. I said, well, is the appropriate level board? He said, yes. And so at your decision point, you can decide anybody and all that can attend. The cost is $1,000, and I'm recommending that that be paid for by the authority.
Do we have a feasibility study on that?
I did it.
All right.
That was my report.
That was it.
Yes.
Next steps are vote.
Yeah, I thought I have the invitation setting. Did everybody get a copy of the itinerary? Or was
I don't think so. I think at that point maybe five did.
I sent out an email through Kathy to the board last month.
I forgot about that.
Background on the partner conference and the purpose and the expectations. We're not at the itinerary stage. We don't have a firm agenda yet for that meeting.
I'm sorry, I misstated. I was more interested in just having the date blocked and some information on that. So I didn't need that.
On the date, so, and the $1,000 is not an NIC fee. It's
no.
Just
right. No, that's travel costs.
Hotel.
Yeah, let's resend that out. And I think just I know I asked this last time, who all were interested in attending and available? Yeah, no, you were, but now it's changing. Should have booked you sooner, huh?
What was your question?
Who is interested in attending and available to attend the NIC conference? I'm just looking for a count.
Yeah,
tentative.
And
I want to look
at the material, and then I will.
Okay.
And Michael is going.
We'll send it out again by email. We have some time, and then you can respond that way. And if it's, and we'll determine what the cost will be. And if there's an issue, we'll send out an email on that as well. But I don't think that'll be a problem. Is that all right? Okay. If you can go. It's really you get to talk with folks like yourselves that are doing this in other states, and. And I think I mentioned it before, the hardest part is calming down afterwards when you're telling Dan what he's going to do on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday after you return. You can get a hold of him. With that, I think we're concluded with you?
No.
Oh, it's too bad. Continue.
We've been continuing the discussion on retreat for the board. I threw out some concepts at the last meeting. Jack Arrowsmith was not available at the last meeting. Subsequent to that, he sent me an email and put out the proposal that it be a day, and Castle Rock supply the facility. They've got a very nice old building down there that doesn't lend itself to summer meetings, but fall meetings would be great. There was also the discussion that the best time might be following the Partners Conference because we'd have a lot of new ideas, new concepts, and to take that as a opportunity to look at our strategic plan direction, because, Senator, I believe that's really where we need to separate things and say, okay, where does this portal want to go? And certainly things like the business portal can be discussed about it, but where do you clearly think after about 24 months, about 18 months in operation, are we on track? What are the board's desires? What should we be trying to furnish as applications? What are the needs as represented by great executive directors that are in touch with constituents all the time, and two legislators that get different calls
from each other.
I can never find you. I have to send
the so now we're suggesting that we go probably early November or the first couple weeks of November, since the partners conference is late October, and this November should be a little calmer than next November.
Do you think? So.
And the concept of one day down in Castle Rock, and then
we could do it anyway. Okay. Anybody have any issues with that? I think that sounds like a great plan. We don't really need to take a vote on it, but
no, I just need to start putting it together.
Yeah. Get her done.
Away from the Thanksgiving holiday.
Yeah.
Keep it before
early November. Let's shoot for that first week or so after we get back from.
Have Alec and NCSL and CSG.
Okay.
They're trying to get away from December.
Yeah, we will be like maybe second week in November, week before Thanksgiving or something.
Okay.
Last thing is I would like to touch just again real briefly what we're doing on testing with SysTest. Everything that I'm getting back from SysTest as well as Colorado Interactive thinks that it's a real positive to make sure that when we launch we are as good as we think we can possibly be before we take it live. And I'm still at the position that not only do we not want any big black eyes, we can't afford them. So that's it, Mr. Chairman, on that.
Great. Thank you. And now I thank Dan for the GM report. Senator
Greg.
Hold on, Greg.
Greg, remember at the Government Technology Conference last year when you did that little seminar?
Mm-hmm. Was that the one in the Marriott?
Yes.
Yeah.
You had unbelievable feedback. And they kept you in there for ages. Given that to other entities or other gatherings?
I haven't in a while. Certainly, that's. I respond to every request for a presentation. I can tell you real quickly, Mr. Feingold has brought to my attention a couple RFPs that have been floating out. They both came from higher ed that clearly the message is still not resonating with things like higher ed in different places of what we are and who we do. And so I think it's my job to get back on the road and do roadshow part two. Bob and I,
Well, that stirs up a lot of interest.
It really does. Because I'll tell you, I think we have, even when I was given that before, I think we have a pretty good story to tell right now.
What if we, I can call those presidents of those colleges, and they'll talk to me. What if we made appointments with them and tell them we're going to come brief their staff?
Ready to go anywhere.
You want to try to do something like that? I was just with Tim Foster out in Grand Junction the other day. I'll bet you he'd do it in a heartbeat.
Oh, I know Tim real well. I serve on a couple of boards with him, but I think the appropriate way to do that, instead of going and seeing the fine gentlewoman that's the president of Trinidad, is to try and do it in a forum that is higher ed, not just one college. Because if we interject our
GCs, do they have their own meeting?
They don't, and no longer do we in state colleges. But what we've done in the past, what I did in the past was there was an IT group and got the entire IT group together and gave the presentation. And maybe I'm being oversensitive, but I think if we go into just one in response to something right now, we sour the staff in that we're trying to undermine what they've been doing.
CML and CCI. You probably do that every year, right?
Well, I haven't this year, but yeah, you need to because you got new commissioners and council people.
Evan?
Mr. Chairman, have you talked to Executive Director Skaggs to see if he can help facilitate across the whole system or whatever part of the system you think needs to be?
I missed on who you said Executive Director.
Skaggs.
No, I have not talked to him on that.
Might make your your roadshow easier to have them help pave the...
Well, higher ed's just one, you know, in what the roadshow that we've done in the past. We get local governments, we identify them, and, you know, Colorado Springs continues to have interest. And, but thank you for that suggestion. I will contact him. Higher ed is just one of the more difficult branches. I guess they're not a branch, but one of the more difficult islands.
I had one.
If you haven't been over, hit over the head yet, just get involved with higher ed. They're pretty good at doing that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, was there another question I missed? Greg Jennings?
Something like this. Greg, does that conference work at all?
It's not. It doesn't work for me. But I mean, you tell me to do it, I'll do it. I hate conference calls. I'll travel clear across the state to see somebody face to face, as opposed to.
Yeah, I understand.
We've been in there before, you know, but just, and I don't know. I guess you got to keep knocking at the door.
Any other questions or comments? Ann Morrison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You all have a copy of the June 2007 report in front of you. I'm going to talk fast, if for no other reason than you've heard me talking enough today already. For those of you that are new to the board or maybe not familiar with the new format of the report, I've over the last couple of months tried to make less fine print and more graphics so that you can get a feeling for what's going on at the portal without having to read a lot of text. But let me just hit the high points for June. It was a good month. We continue to roll out counties for online vehicle renewals. In June, we added Arapahoe, Larimer, and Rout counties. We have now, to date, done 37,600 motor vehicle renewals online, which is tremendous, and processed over $5 million in state fees for those services.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, yes, ma'am.
We're still processing driver's license online?
These are car tag renewals.
And we're still doing that? Just in but three counties or something?
And we're in development for driver's license renewals working with DOR.
We have 9 right now, Senator.
9 counties.
12.
Haven't cut anybody off.
No, sir.
Back to the old system?
Oh, no.
Okay.
We were always using the legacy system for that.
Okay, so C-STARS wasn't part of it to start with?
It was just at the state level.
Okay.
Not at the county level.
Is that increasing, you think, every month?
Oh, yes, sir. In fact, if you want to flip over to page, let's see, let's skip page 4 for a second, and to which page is it? Page 6, the table at the top of the page shows all the counties. In the month of June alone, we did 12,439 online tag renewals. That's about double or maybe triple what we did the previous month. So as we add counties, we're dramatically seeing these numbers increase, and over $1.5 million in revenue just in the month of June. So this is the adoption of this and the uptake on this is tremendous. And again, the marketing strategy is that little card that the counties are already mailing to all the vehicle holders, the registered owners in the state, have the URL printed on those, and we have collateral material that we've put on the counters in all of the DMVs in those 9 counties. So it's a self-perpetuating model.
Senator May.
Dan, this is good for what it is, but there are 4.5 million vehicles registered in Colorado. So at that kind of a rate, we need to increase that for sure.
Well, we've got another 5 or 6 counties coming online next. So actually, Becky Davis at DOR has been instrumental in facilitating this process, and so we're identifying counties that are ready, willing, and able to go forward, and Becky's the facilitator along with our team, and we're bringing them online as fast as they want to come and as fast as we can reasonably make them come.
John Thomas?
I would also offer up, because when you compare what we're doing in the first 6 months of online vehicle registration, other NIC states that are doing it, we are already competitive. We're right in line, and we're probably going to surpass that as we get more counties on. Nobody, I think, in the end will be close to the number
those bigger states in terms of population and vehicles?
I think Indiana may be the only one. Does Indiana have one? That's the only other state that's as big.
Senator, as we were, there's a press release on page 11, and it indicates that we potentially have, and this is with 9 counties, and we're up to 12 now, 2.5 million potential registered vehicles. So we're already halfway there in the number, more than halfway there of the potential registered vehicles in the state of Colorado. And that kind of follows the metric and the explanation and the rationale that Mr. Moroney was talking about earlier, and I think we're moving pretty well on that one.
Without a doubt, that's our flagship, quote, non-DMV application. In other words, it's our single biggest to date citizen-facing service that is a revenue generator for the portal and provides a service to the public. Very quickly, I'll direct you back to page 4. Rather than a long spreadsheet-type list of projects, we've taken to giving you a Gantt chart format. You will not notice a lot of changing in the length of these bars from month to month. By and large, our project queue is fairly stable, and you don't see a lot of shifting of deadlines as we get into development. Those that have the blue bars are the ones that are in active, either requirements gathering, spec writing, or development. And the ones that don't have a blue bar are projects in discussion where we have a signed task order. So this essentially represents 30 projects that are in some part of our pipeline for development. I will say that on page 5, the little tally table at the bottom summarizes this for you. In error, did not update the table this month. If you look in the column for applications, and I'm on page 5 in the little table there, we now have 12 applications in spec development or testing, and 6 in requirements gathering. So we moved 2 up higher in the status scheme this month.
Dan, what is on page 4 driver monitoring? What does that mean?
Driver monitoring is a service that we're doing in collaboration with DOR for the insurance companies who want to know at any given point in time during a month whether or not a certain driver has had a change in their driver record. And so the idea here is the insurance company will give us, say, 100,000 driver license numbers at the beginning of a month. We'll monitor those records on a daily basis, and at the end of the month, we will send them the driver records at $2 a piece for those that have had a change in a field that they wanted us to monitor. So we're actively developing that service now, and the anticipated cost of that service to the insurance companies is 6 cents per record per month registered. And we've drive that price after looking at 5 other NIC states that offer the service, and what you find is that the lower the price, the higher the percentage of driver records that are monitored. So at 6 cents a record, we could anticipate about 25% of the state's overall driver license database would be monitored on a monthly basis. At 6 cents a piece, that might mean a couple, maybe up to 600,000 or 700,000 records monitored per month.
Can we move that to a dollar?
You sound like John Thomas, who wanted to charge $6 a record per month, but I think 6 cents.
I'm all for the portal.
Yeah.
Okay, you indicated to me that the uninsured motorist database is now you're handling that. Is that correct?
That's right. That project is now fully live and in maintenance mode. This is the project that we took over from a vendor called Explore. We did this with funding from the Department of Revenue. I think we're saving the Department of Revenue, I would say about 90% of what they were paying previously to the other vendor for doing the service. This is a service that the insurance companies submit to us their book of business for vehicles, and we match that up against the state motor vehicle database to identify uninsured vehicles in the state. And we provide that through DOR to law enforcement, and that's an active project.
Now that data is available to county clerks?
I'll have to defer to either Roxy or Becky for the answer to that question.
Thank you.
Moving on quickly, as you flip over now to page 8, last but not least, this shows you a graphical representation of portal accesses year by year. And what you'll see is that each year is successively higher in the number of portal accesses per month than the previous year, which is a pattern we like to see. And the 2007 line is tracking higher than the 2006 line. And even though it did go down in June, you'll see that in most years it does go down in June, probably for cyclical reasons related to online filing applications or other reasons that people do or don't get on the internet in June, like summer vacations, perhaps. And that concludes the main part of my presentation. I will direct you to the appendices for all the gory details if you'd like to know, see the data tables.
Yeah, good feature.
And be happy to answer any questions.
I
do have one more.
Please, excuse me.
I will also direct you to the separate handout, which is the portal financial statement for the month of May, because we haven't quite closed the June books yet, it being only the 5th of July. This is CI's financial statement, and I'm presenting in that middle box there a three-month view of the portal's financial condition. We have pretty stable revenues. They tend to go up and down significantly depending on time and materials payments for contract payments that we have for MIDB, for example, with DOR. But this is a healthy financial picture. We have a lot of stability in revenue, and our expenses are pretty stable. You'll see the SIPA revenue share broken out separately on that line item. And then the revenue numbers in the bottom box are broken out for you by service, so you can see where our revenue comes from. The vast majority of it comes from motor vehicle, that is to say driver records that we vend to the insurance industry through DOR. And you'll see online vehicle registrations is by far and away the largest single citizen-facing service that we offer, and the other ones are small compared to that. And any questions now, I'll be glad to answer.
Do you have your equipment at the GGCC facility?
Yes, sir.
Now that's under Mike Kilkatis, right? By executive order? No?
That continues to be under the Department of Personnel Administration.
Well, but there was an
executive order.
Right. That agreement between DPA and Kilkatis that essentially gave him more control over that stuff.
There is more control, but our server agreement, his server agreement, continues to be with DPA. But one of the things they're just finishing up is a data center assessment that was done with all agencies. And so you're right, that's kind of changing how that all is. But
we have some backup in the E-Fort or emergency stuff in E-Fort?
I can tell you, currently we do not have the servers over there. Dan and I just discussed that earlier this week. We have the MOU with E-Fort, and we will be moving there. Some of the mirroring is happening right now. There's backup, but it's not disaster recovery. We do have backup, but it's not disaster recovery. And Dan is going to give me a timeline on when we're going to configure and make sure that those are up and running out there at E-Fort. But as of right now, it's not at E-Fort.
Any more questions of Dan?
Thank you.
It's a bonus. Does anybody have anything they would like to add? With that, I think we're adjourned unless there's any. Oh, Greg Jennings. All in favor?
Second.
Have a good month.
You sent me a couple of emails either earlier this week or last week.
Where, when, and how?
Check out the screenshot. Okay.